we close our hearts and minds perhaps to that. So in the quietness of the next few moments, just ask the Lord that question. Lord, what is your will for me? What is your will for me? What is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to be? And just leave your heart open for the Lord to speak to you. Maybe not today, but tomorrow. Give you a sign to just reassure you that he has a special plan for you. Lord, hear the prayers of your people. Lord, we just thank you that you love us. And you do have a plan for us, a personal plan. Lord, help us to leave ourselves open to hear that plan and to walk with confidence within it. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. A few moments, I'm going to ask Martin to come and read to us from Philippians. But before that, just let me say, being a Christian is a journey. It's not an event, it's a journey. And like any journey, it has stops, it has locations along the way. Things happen and memories are made. Life is experienced. There are joys and there are sorrows. There's laughter and tears. But always there's the promise that God will never leave us. His faithfulness doesn't mean doesn't guarantee a pain-free life. But it does give us strength to stand firm in the middle of life's storms. So as we travel in faith, he will help us in whatever we do for him. The next couple of months while I'm with you, I'm doing a little mini-series called Traveling in Faith. And I start that this morning. And so Traveling in Faith, subtitled Ever Faithful. Martin, would you come and read Philippians 1? This is where Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, a church which he had founded some years before. And Paul is in prison. He's not having a joyful life. He's actually in prison and probably been there for about 2 years. Written around about AD 60.
Thanks, Frank. This is the letter to the Philippians. Starts first one. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Martin. Ever faithful despite circumstances. You know, Paul's writing to the various churches are among my favourite passages of Scripture. He always expresses such joy in being a worker for the gospel, and expresses such joy regarding his co-workers. And remember, he's expressing that joy whilst he's in prison, probably been in prison for about 2 years now. Despite his circumstances, he exhibits an amazingly positive attitude towards his life and his ministry, and even a positive attitude to his Philippian readers. Philippi was probably the first European church which Paul had founded some years before. And as Martin read those pages, those words, you can hear the hope and the confidence that sort of bursts out of every sentence. His hope and his confidence is not rooted in his own abilities, not rooted in his own wishful thinking, but in the faithfulness of God, that God will be faithful, irrespective of the circumstances. And understanding such faithfulness, we cannot do more than he cannot do more than be faithful himself. And he's faithful himself to his God, but he's faithful to his fellow co-workers. In the midst of all his circumstances, he displays hope, H-O-P-E, hope. He's been suffering for Christ's sake. He's been preaching the gospel. And this has inspired him to have confidence that God will use him further, despite his present circumstances. God will use him and his fellow Philippians. He had some victory before him. He knew about victory for Christ. He had that marked up. That gave him confidence. And victory gives you a platform to which to launch into the future and to be even more bold and to be more successful. He'd stepped out in faith in the past and he saw how God worked. And those experiences, he said, I want you all to experience. Scripture somewhere says that, you know, if you're faithful in small things, then God will give you even bigger things to be faithful in. And sometimes, you know, we think, well, I can't do big things, therefore I do nothing. Well, God doesn't say that way. He says, just be faithful in the small things. And then see where you and I will go together. That gives us all a hope. Nothing to do with gifting or grace or our own grace anyway. Paul expresses his hope in a number of different ways. He says he will be delivered from his present trials, whether dead or alive. This is Paul in prison, 2 years. He will be delivered from his present trials, whether dead or alive. He will be vindicated. He will be seen to be true in what he believes because he stands for Christ. He will be given courage, he says, to proclaim Christ without shame, even in prison. That Christ's name will be exalted, even whilst he's in prison. He's not trapped by his circumstances. He still has a mission to fulfill. And he says his ministry will be successful. It will be fruitful. That extreme confidence that Paul has, that Philippians will overcome their struggles and God will complete his work in them. You know that Christian slogan, if God be with us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. God be with us, who can be against us? You see, like Paul, we too should not let our present circumstances dictate our actions. Sometimes we're up for it and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we just feel we can't do anything. Paul is saying, don't let your present circumstances dictate your actions. He says, whatever your present circumstances are, keep your eyes on God's big picture. Keep your eyes on God's kingdom picture. You know, for those of us who are older, we've experienced a lot. We've experienced the joys and the sorrows. And we know some of the truth of that, don't we? We know some of the truth of having God with us in the midst of difficulties. Of God still using us when we think we are useless. We've experienced that. God still using us when we think we are useless. Useless because we've been dragged down by poor health, been dragged down by circumstances, been dragged down by relationship difficulties, dragged down by financial difficulties, you name it. God is still there and he says, you are still valuable to me and I can still use you. When we're younger, we might not have experienced too many downsides to our lives and not experienced that. That's one of the benefits of, well, growing older. We know and we even get a glimpse of the truth that God is with us in all circumstances. We stick with it despite circumstances. I like to read history. And I was reminded of this not so long ago, talking to somebody about God being with us in all circumstances and not to give up. It was in the English Parliament at the beginning of the 19th century. William Wilberforce led the change to abolish slavery in Great Britain. He fought and he fought and he fought, and he never got anywhere. For a long time, never got anywhere. And after a while, he was getting deflated by the whole thing. And he decided that he was going to give up on this issue and move on to another issue. And John Wesley, the great preacher John Wesley, the Methodist founder, he heard about Wilberforce's decision to give up on the slavery question. He heard about this on his deathbed. And he sent for Wilberforce. And the verse that he'd given was that verse I said a few moments ago. If God be with us, who can be against us? That's all he said to him. If God be with us, who can be against us? And a couple of days later, Wesley died. But for the next 45 years, Wilberforce fought the Parliament on slavery. And 3 days before he died, he saw slavery abolished in England. He didn't let present circumstances dictate his actions. He knew what the truth was, and he stayed with that and worked with it. And the victory was eventually his. Hallelujah. Victory was eventually his. So if God be with us, who can be against us? What does that mean for us present day modern Christians? Well, Paul's faith, despite his circumstances, does challenge us. How do we view our church? How do we view our world? How do we view ourselves? Are we full of hope and faithful, or despondent and gloomy? How do we view ourselves? Verses 16 and 17. Really is saying to take heart, whatever our circumstances. To take heart, because God will deliver you. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being reviewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. We need to have faith that the Holy Spirit will help us when we share Christ with others. We share Christ in many different ways, and not always verbal. Act of love. Being with someone. Matthew 19:19-20 says this. But when they arrest you, what he's saying is when you come up against trouble, do not worry about what you say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You know, sometimes we over-prepare ourselves, don't we? We've prepared our speech. We've prepared our conversation when we're going to meet somebody in a supermarket queue. We've prepared our speech for when someone knocks on a door, when the Jehovah Witness knocks on a door. We've prepared that. And God says, don't worry about that. If your heart is right, come the time, His Spirit will be there with you, and you will speak with power and authority. Doesn't mean we don't prepare. Doesn't mean we don't mentally prepare. But we need to understand the massive role that the Holy Spirit gives to those who give themselves to Him. Do not worry about what you're going to say. Believe that God will use your witnessing, even if you can't see Him. Even if you can't see Him doing it, believe that He will be working. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We need to believe that, even if we don't see it. We need to believe that when we act in faith and we allow the Spirit to work through us, the work that we do will produce fruit. We may not see it, but in kingdom terms, fruit will be there. Fruit will be produced. We need to believe that. Your work for God will produce fruit. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Hallelujah. And finally, have faith that God will work in other Christians. Have faith in them. Paul had faith in his co-workers. God had faith in those Christians at Philippi. Hebrews 6:9 says, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love you have shown for His sake in serving the saints. He will not overlook your work. Hallelujah. He will not overlook your work. Despite our circumstances, we still have a work to do, whatever our circumstances are. And it will be productive. It will be productive. In a moment, I'm just going to read to you. You remember, Paul's in prison. And the only people he has really to speak to are the guards. The only people who he can talk about Christ to and preach the gospel to are the guards. Hardened men. War-weary men, men who have served, men who have seen brutality. And this is a reflective meditation. And this is a reflective meditation on what his guards may have thought of all that they had heard from Paul. Through the eyes of the guard, I don't understand how he can be so positive. Look at him. No freedom. He can't come and go as he wants. All he has is his books and the occasional visitor. His future's uncertain too. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. This is the second year here, and still there's no end in sight for him. But I've seen the glint in his eye. He gets it when he mentions this Jesus he follows. You know, there are some days he talks about nothing else. He seems obsessed by him. He even tried to convert me. Well, whatever the circumstances, whatever we think, we can't deny his faith. I've never really seen anything like it. It seems anything could happen to him and he'll still have that look of peace on his face. That certainty that things are going to be okay. And you know, he's not afraid of death either. He's the one under arrest. But it's like he's given me a new way of looking at things. You know, faith and stuff and all that sort of stuff. You know, our gods are a bit unpredictable. You hope they're not going to give us bad things, or they've not got out of bed on the wrong side. If that's so, you could be in for a hard day. The God he talks about is different. The God he talks about is loving and caring, always watching over us. You know, maybe there's something in that Jesus he talks about. Paul's life and actions in prison were having an effect on the prison guards. Our circumstances don't dictate what we do for our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Paul and we thank you for his message. We thank you for the challenge of rising above our circumstances to be the people that you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you will equip all of your people with all the good gifts necessary to be the people you want them to be. To be the people you want them to be in whatever circumstances they find themselves in. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your promises. Let us take hold of all of that and make it the foundation for our lives. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.